You know I'm right. The podcast that uncovers the origin stories of what it seems like this day, Joe, is every Big Brother contestant in the history of the game. The go-to podcast for everybody on Big Brother. We also do, of course, sports, media, entertainment. And our guest today, she's a rock star. She's a DJ. We've had plenty of DJs on. We've had people on from Australia, but we never had on a reality TV star who is a DJ, who is a lawyer from Australia. So let everybody know, Joe, who we have with us here today.
Okay, I'm going to try to see if I can get this right, and I need her to grade it afterwards. We welcome Bowie Jane to the program. Bowie, g'day, mate. How was that?
G'day, mate. How are you going? It's effing Bowie Jane in the house.
Damn right. Yeah, Bowie Jane, we're glad to have you here. And, of course, we're going to talk about your background. Most people who leave Australia to come to the States, they usually work on a cruise ship. You were totally different here. So we're going to get all into it here. I think Joe did a good job there with the Australian accent.
That was pretty good, actually. It is hard for people to say, because most people go good day, but it's g'day.
G'day, right.
G'day. Pretty solid, Joe. So Bowie Jane, when did you first see Big Brother? And is there an Australian version? How did you learn about the show?
Yeah, so I watched Big Brother in Australia years ago. I had to be careful not to talk about it too much in the house because it gave away my age, because it was actually a long time ago when the Australian Big Brother was voted for by the audience, and it was less alliance-driven. It was fantastic. Like, everyone would go to everyone's houses and watch it, and it was, you know, you're just watching people 24/7. It was great. I then watched the American Big Brother. So I've watched like six seasons, I think, and also Canada Big Brother. I watched BB Can 6. So I was well aware of how different it is over here and how it's pretty aggressive and that it was alliance driven. And because I'm from a sporting background, I was like, no problem. I figured, yeah, I can do this, and I'll find some good people I can trust in the house. I'm sure there'll be a couple of bad ones, but I'll sift through them and just hang with the good people, and off we go. Okay, that didn't quite work, but.
So how did you decide to audition? What was the process like? And sometimes you hear people audition multiple times before they get on the show. So how many times did you audition before they casted you?
That was my first time auditioning, and I just submitted off the website. And I think it probably helps that I know who I am as a person, maybe because I'm older, I don't know, but I definitely know, I guess, my strengths, my weaknesses, and bringing high energy to camera. I think that helps with in the casting process. So yeah, that was my first time.
So obviously everybody's expectations when they go in is you want to win, right? You finished in third place, which is no slouch. You performed amazing in the game. You won a bunch of competitions. You performed really, really well, showed well for all the Australians out there. But did your own performance exceed your own expectations? Did you do better in the game than you thought you would going in?
I always believe I can do whatever. So I believed I could win. But I didn't. I knew that I would have to pivot so, like, constantly throughout the game. So I wasn't dumb and thinking, "Oh, I'm going to win the $750,000." It wasn't like that. It was more like, "I think I can if I play this game right." So it's a matter of just changing when certain things happen and when certain personalities clash. Let's work through it. So yes, I believed in myself to get there, but it was a week by week or maybe a 3 week at a time kind of situation.
And what was your biggest regret while playing the game?
I have thought about this. I don't think I've got any regrets, because how could I have known how to play this game? Like, if I went in a second time, I think I'd be more aware of the fact that people would be in multiple alliances rather than, I thought there'd be like two or three big alliances, and within those alliances, there'd be breakdown groups. But it just wasn't that. And I think that's probably the Suri and Jared relationship that meant they were in all the alliances, and it makes sense now, but at the time I was like, I did not know Big Brother was like this, because when I've watched it, that's not what I've seen. And I think that's correct. I don't think in past seasons that's been the case as much. Well, that's my understanding of it. So obviously people do dodgies on their alliances and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, I was surprised by that. So I don't think I could change the way I played at all, or I have any regrets, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I was dealing with situations as they came, and my plan was to not fly under the radar so much, but make sure I find who good people were to trust. Don't win competitions until about halfway. Don't be seen as a strategic threat. Don't be seen as someone, as an aggressive player, and don't be seen as someone too sporty or too smart. And just try and get to the next half of the game and then start implementing stage two of my strategy. Of course, I'm not going to tell anyone in the house my strategy. So I think the internet was like, oh, she's doing nothing. I'm like, guys, I'm not going to tell the people I'm playing against. But I guess if I'd talked to the live streamers, maybe that would have helped. But yeah, we were told we weren't allowed to do that. So,
right. Yeah. But you played a great game. You got there till the end. Any sour grapes for Jag taking Matt over you, or did you get it because Matt did save Jack? He was the only reason that he was still there. And do you think that when they were giving their final two speeches to all of you, that Matt probably should have played that up a little more, that hey, the only reason Jack's here is because of me saving him?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think there's two ways to go with your speeches. Do you say, hey, I've got all the blood on my hands, you should pick me, I've done all the work? Or do you say, I've looked after you all and I'm a good person? So I think there are two angles with it. I don't know if it would have changed things too much anyway, but by the sounds of it. But yeah, what was the start of that question?
Yeah, any sour grapes for you towards Jack for getting you out?
No, look, I was well aware when I started working with them around week six, I think it was, that those two were tight. I knew that Matt had saved Jag, so I knew he had that obligation. But I was making great inroads with Jag, and I did feel like he could take me to the final two. But I thought another option for me is just to win a comp, the final comp.
Yeah.
And then I would have
had the most wins in the season then for comps.
Yeah, and that would have been a great selling point for me for my pitch to the jury. So, yeah, I think I just had the confidence that I could win a comp. And so that was my angle. But also, I did think he might take me, but I guess a day or two before, I was like, I can feel things have shifted. And that's why I was forcing him to open his eyes when he was telling me I was fine.
Our last episode, we had Jag with us, and this is kind of what we were kind of saying to him. But we think, me and Joe, that if he took you to the final two, that he was probably going to lose, because... because I think everybody in the jury would have been like, wow, you did Matt so dirty. Like, he saved you. And Bowie has a really good resume. That's what we were thinking, right, Joe? That Bowie would have won at that situation?
Right. Yeah. That's interesting, because that did cross my mind as well, that could be something that could be an angle. I thought I could maybe get two or three votes, and then there could be someone who was annoyed. It could even be Matt who would be annoyed and then vote for me. I didn't know, but... I thought it was a way more even playing field with Jag and I than it was Matt and Jag or Matt and me. I think Matt would have beaten me for sure. So that was what my whole pitch to Jag, like, hey, I'm more even. I did not think it would go the way it went.
Yeah, you thought Matt. So were you surprised at the voting, how the voting shook out at the end between Jag and Matt?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I wasn't joking when I was telling Jag multiple times. I think, you know, that everyone's going to vote for Matt. He just was so well liked. He kind of had been, he had also been in a lot of groups, but had, I don't know, it seemed to be acceptable. So, and yeah, he was likable. He'd done well in comps when he needed. He'd flying under the radar when he needed. So yeah, I thought he would definitely win.
So what did you find to be like the weirdest or most peculiar, strangest thing about the house itself?
As in the environment?
The set, yeah. And your cast actually got lucky, because about two or three times you got to leave the house to go play competitions elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, look, the house is the strange part is obviously when the backyard's closed, and you're like, I think the last 12 days we were locked inside.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I think it was 12 days. It just is a lot, and you're in air conditioning all the time. And so, like, my eyeballs are getting so dry all the time. That's why I was constantly putting eye drops in. And, I think getting woken up in the morning with an announcement and bang, fluoro lights. And I was saying to some, I said, text Jag the other day, I said, are you having trouble? The whole world seems dark in light outside as soon as we got out. So it's because we're so used to being under fluoro lighting all the time. So, Yeah, I think things like that that you would never have thought of, just environmental things.
So what was it like for you the first time you turned your phone back on after you got it back?
Yeah, I haven't quite caught up with everything yet. I haven't responded to any texts. It's just been overwhelming with social media. So I'm trying to jump on lives and that kind of thing. But as far as responding to people, it's just been crazy. So many people that you don't realize watch Big Brother. So it is fascinating. But yeah, the phone technology, like this is the first time I'm on my laptop now. So, I mean, lucky I don't have a gig tomorrow DJing because we could be in trouble.
gotta get everything updated there for sure.
Oh, in the computer. Actually, also because I'm producing a new song and we were looking for some of the latest sounds to check what's popular at the moment. I can't work out what has been released in the last 4 months. So I'm like, uh-oh, I'm out of touch all of a sudden. So that's a problem being a DJ, but I'll pick it up pretty quick.
Absolutely. So who would you say is the coolest person you got to meet after the show, thanks to being on the show?
Oh, I tell you, the BB alumni have been absolutely incredible. I did not expect that. So many people have reached out who have been on the show in the past just saying, you know, and it's private conversations. It's not for clout or anything. They're just amazing people saying, look, if you need to talk, I understand it's really difficult and it's overwhelming. And so they've been fantastic. Taylor, Joseph, Kylan in particular, the three of them, they've really looked after me because I live in LA and they're all in LA as well. So we went out all weekend and they went out of their way to look after me.
So talking about social media and people reaching out to you, there are usually things that happen, trends, things that are created while you guys are inside the house that you guys only figure out after you get outside the house. So one of those things related to you was Felicia saying, you know, fucking Bowie Jane, and I don't want to explicitly say it, but it was a clip that went viral on TikTok, and it was a relatively popular clip. Were you surprised by that at all coming out of the house?
Well, at first I thought it might have been F Bowie Jane, as in without the in. Am I allowed to say it?
Sure.
Yeah, you could say it.
So I thought it might be fuck Bowie Jane. But then when I found out it was fucking Bowie Jane, I was like, oh, that's cool. So because I went out in West Hollywood the other night and these guys were all coming up to me going, it's fucking Bowie Jane. Like it was kind of like more of a hilarious thing. So yeah, I think it's funny and people like it's FBJ, like the supporters are saying FBJ. So yeah, I think the memes are hilarious. And since I got out, mum and dad are filling me in on all that stuff that's been going on. So yeah, it's crazy. And I've got a good sense of humor, so I couldn't care less. I think it's funny.
So I think that's probably going to be your new open when you come out to a DJ gig. So what we'll do now is we'll help you out here. I'll drop a beat. And Joe, you do the introduction, you know, ladies and gentlemen, makes noise, bring it out, and then you say it, all right? So let's go.
Okay,
let's
go.
That's your beat?
It's pretty
ladies
fast.
And gentlemen, please welcome fucking Bowie Jane!
Let's go! Oh, yeah!
There we go. You got to get it mixed in your intro now, Bowie Jane.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have it. I'm gonna grab the stem and be pressing that button. So we're going fucking Bowie Jane, fucking Bowie Jane.
That's pretty good too.
It's yeah, pretty good stuff.
Well, the other thing that's gone absolutely wild is that my jury question, because I just got out of the house and they give you 1 second to think of a jury question. Yeah. And I was like, I just don't, you know, like I don't care. I'm gonna say something. Because we've been through it in that house and I'm going to mention the mafia and how did your life change for the better? That has been going crazy on Twitter. So, and Cameo, actually, I'm getting so many cameos asking about that. So it's pretty funny. But yeah
you're the only one that actually got to ask your own question. Everybody else had a Rudolph a card. So,
yeah, I know. That's why I was like, hey, look, you can't do anything about this now. Woo!
So, Bowie Jane, we of course know that the reindeer games are going to be happening soon. So there's a lot of speculation who's going to be playing in that. I assume it's going to be Cameron, but do you have any insight on who might be in the reindeer games from your season?
I've got no insight. And Cameron also said he's got no ideas, but I thought it would be someone like Cameron. It could be Jag. I mean, maybe Matt as well. So I'm not sure.
Tyson.
Yes, Heisem. Of course, if they need a female, I would be totally available for
I
that.
I think you should have been one of the reindeer that they were there. The elves, I mean, that they said. Derek's going to be an elf, right, with Tiffany.
Oh, really? Is that what's happening? Yeah, I'm not sure because I haven't watched any TV or anything, so I've got no idea. But yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. So it's good that they've got that happening straight away.
All right, so we'll see, Joe. We can't rule out Bowie Jane because it seems like everybody is in the dark, but we'll see. We'll see when St. Nick comes knocking who's going to be.
I would think they've told whoever it is by now, you would think, but who knows? Maybe not. It is TV.
You know, I mean, what with you, though, Bowie Jane, like when you got cast for Big Brother, what'd you get? A day notice? 2 days notice?
Yeah, you really don't get a lot of notice. And it's like, because I live in LA and I've done some commercial stuff and TV stuff, you know, extras work, you get told the night before. So, usually is late.com.
Could be going back to the Big Brother house real soon.
Oh, gosh.
Who knows? Maybe right now, when people listening to this, you're in there. You're in there in the reindeer games.
Yeah, that's right.
The Santaverse. So,
oh my gosh.
Tell us here about your decision back in the day to pursue a career as a lawyer, having to go to many years of schooling for that, and then breaking into the law world and being a practicing lawyer for a while.
Yeah, so I was always wanting to do my music, but of course I was at university at the time, so I finished. Actually, going back before that, I was playing tennis at a really high level. So when I quit tennis, like we're talking, I was traveling around the world doing it. So
you're on tour.
Yeah, so... which I think hasn't really come up, which is funny, but that I kept that on the down low in the house and they said, oh, did you do a sport? And I was like, oh, I played a little bit of tennis, but I just kept it on
so
the down low.
So Bowie Jane, real quick in the Big Brother house right now, if you're going to do a mixed doubles, give me your partner and who do you want to go against?
Oh, good question. Who's got good hand-eye coordination? Someone who's maybe played baseball or something. So I don't think there are any tennis players in the house. I don't know who was throwing the ball pretty well. Maybe it was like Jag and Matt were pretty good. I mean, they're just athletic. So, yeah I guess those. And I'll just hit all the balls and they can be a backup.
And you could take on Felicia and someone else who's not good and you'll easily win.
Now that would be a lot of fun. When I quit tennis, I could then pursue the music, which I'd always wanted to do. So I was singing in bands and doing duos and stuff. Whilst I was at uni, I was studying law, had no intention of being a lawyer. I just wanted to do the music. And then I thought I'll go work for an entertainment law firm because that will help me with my music career. Started working for the entertainment law firm and there was a big like money laundering case that had happened. I ended up working with one of their clients. So I ended up doing all money laundering cases from that moment on. So suddenly I wasn't doing the music as much. I was doing it always on the side, but yeah, the law was quite intense at that time. And yeah, so then I was trying to get back over to America so that I could work on my visas and all that stuff. So hard as an Australian to be able to move here is just incredibly difficult. And so I thought I'll try and get a legal job in a Commonwealth jurisdiction. And which is like Cayman Islands or Bermuda, one of those. And an opportunity arose to work on one of the Bernie Madoff litigations. So I worked on that. And that was in, you know, the Bermuda Cayman Islands region. And yeah, so from that, I was just doing big cases, but also still trying to do my music at the same time. And yeah, like I've toured the UK with my music, released music over there. And I've been doing both for a long time.
So you started off with the music as a performer, doing duos, you're singing and everything. What was the transition like to becoming more so a DJ, playing other people's music and stuff? And how did you go about getting those first bunch of gigs?
Yeah, so my music was extremely pop back in the day, like bubblegum pop. And then we did some dance remixes and released them in the UK. They did really well. So then I started doing club stuff. And I was thinking it would be best because I think the Nervo twins were sort of doing live vocals and DJing. So I thought, well, I'm going to incorporate that. So I learned how to DJ and then started incorporating the live vocal DJ set. And then I was just loving the DJing so much because I love like revving up the crowd. And I just pretty much dropped doing the vocals. So my tracks all have my vocals on it, but yeah, just the DJing, revving up the crowd, that's where I'm at. So
what was it like performing in Australia? What was the travel like? Did you go coast to coast at all when you first started?
When I was releasing my pop music, look, the Australian market's really indie rock. So my music was very pop. So it was best to release in the UK because that's where that music sat well over there, even more so than sitting well in America. So yes, I was doing a lot of gigs in Australia, but there's only so many cities there. Like, it's quite a small market. So when I went to the UK, it's traveling up and down the UK, like gig, 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 heaps of gigs, radio, radio, radio. So I was doing a lot of trips to the UK and then back, UK back.
And then eventually you moved to Los Angeles, right? So do you like being here a little more than you liked being over there? What are the main differences? And you talked about, I guess, the difficulty, right? Was it a difficult process, you know, coming to the United States and eventually staying here and making your presence known here?
I absolutely love Los Angeles. Living here is like so many opportunities. There's just everything's going on. Everyone's in entertainment. And the attitude here is like, you just keep going until you get to where you want to go. It's not like, oh, how long are you going to keep trying for? There's none of that conversation. It's like, you go, girl. So yeah, living in LA is very different to living in Australia because not everyone's in entertainment. So it's that part of it is fantastic. And when I got a bit of publicity in the UK, that helped me get my entertainer's visa in the US. And then after that, I could turn it into a green card and then citizenship. So the whole process is really long. But I became a citizen this year. Nice. And then literally that week applied for Big Brother because you can't apply for CBS shows unless you're a citizen. So it's a really long process, everything. And, you know, you come here, you don't know anyone. I didn't have one contact here. So started bartending and that helped me meet people.
So what are some of the favorite places or events you've gotten to DJ?
Well, I guess more recent stuff. I DJ Dodger Stadium for LA Pride. That was a lot of fun. And a lot of my gigs in the UK have been really cool. So, you know, the bigger the stage, the better. So I love Room to Move, to walk up and down, rev the crowd up. I did a gig in St. Louis. That was amazing. It was like 1,600 capacity. And just to be able to a really big, long stage. So that's when I'm at my best, I think, when I can move around.
Any other notable DJs or maybe reality stars turned DJs that you would love to potentially do a show with at a big club or something?
Oh, like you know who I think? I mean, Paris Hilton, but Paul. I think Paulie D.
Paulie D, Paris Hilton, Howie James.
I knew she was going to say Paulie D.
Yeah, buddy.
Because I think that's probably a similar market, to be honest. I've seen his gigs and he's revving the crowd up as well. And it's EDM house. That's my style. So I can, in club gigs, I can go techno, but for that kind of a gig, I'd be doing EDM house. So yeah, just anything that I get to rev the crowd up, squirt champagne into the crowd, whatever.
As a Jersey Shore guy, it warms my heart that you would want to perform with Paulie D. Paulie D, by the way, big fan of the You Know Our My podcast.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Follows us. Yeah, he's a big fan. So maybe if he sees this.
Yes.
Joe, wasn't there a good spot you go to in the Jersey Shore that Bowie Jane should come DJ at?
Oh, I got a bunch of spots.
She's got to play Avicii.
Yeah, she got to play Avicii a little bit.
Some of the best tracks ever written, his tracks. So yeah, amazing.
The next time you're in New York, we could talk again. I know a lot of people who work down the Jersey Shore, a lot of people who promote events down there and organize stuff like that. So all the DJs that we have on this podcast, I make the same promise to. So hopefully we'll be able to fulfill them soon. Where are some venues and locations that you haven't performed yet that you would really like to perform at some point?
Yeah, I would love to do the day parties in Vegas. So at Zouk and the beach clubs and all that kind of stuff. Cause I think I'm just a really high energy performer. So anything where I can rev the crowd up is great. So yeah, the Vegas clubs, I guess New York as well. Oh, Ibiza and where else? Europe City. As well. Atlantic City, there we go.
Party Atlantic on. City is a dump.
Miami.
Ah, yeah.
Sure, yeah, of course. All the
but
parties.
I did play, I played at Resorts World in Vegas for EDC Hotels this year. So, yeah, I would love to play one of the main stages at EDC eventually. So, yeah, that's definitely one of my aim. Or Tomorrowland in Belgium. Ooh. I don't know if you know that dance festival. Yeah. It's freaking
have you
huge,
been getting right? contacted but for a lot of upcoming gigs now that you have been a Big Brother?
Well, yeah, my agent is trying to work all that out at the moment because I had to clear my calendar not right. knowing if I was away for 1 week or away for 3
days.
Months. Yeah, exactly. And so gigs usually get booked 2 months in advance and it's winter coming up. So obviously there's New Year's and Christmas. But yeah, so I think things will be starting to line up now, which is good.
Hopefully, absolutely. Maybe you get some people requesting you to come play their wedding.
Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious.
So Joe, if you ever find your lucky lady, Bowie, you got Bowie Jane, Blake Quartzman, another past DJ on with us. I mean, there's gonna be a lot of great DJs at your party.
We do back to back.
Could do that, could set that up. Bowie Jane, last question from me, and then we'll start to wrap up and let you go here. One of your main strategies going into the house was selling the fact to your other house guests that you were younger than what you actually are, right? So eventually people get to know each other, you talk, you share life stories and all that. So people kind of get a whiff, right? They kind of look at you and say, something doesn't add up, right?
Yeah.
So of everybody in the house, who were one or two of the smarter house guests, people that you were talking to, who kind of you thought figured out early on or actually came up to you and approached you with the fact that you were a liar?
Well, so, and also that people have asked me, why'd you do that? And I'm like, guys, I thought the cast would be 20 to 25 years old.
Typically
and
it is.
And no one needs an extra reason to vote someone out. At the start of the game, I figured if I could get through the first 4 weeks, it'd be fine. But at the start of the game, people are like, oh, any reason will do. So yeah, I've just tried to limit all the reasons that I could be voted out, attorney, sport, my age. So yeah, I kind of knew there were parts of my life I had to keep chopping out of my story, which was tricky. So I thought maybe Jag might know, to be honest. And Red told me afterwards that the only reason he thought I might be his age, and the reason he thought that was because he said there were just some time things in my story that sound like only you would know if you're older. So right. Yeah, I think it's the problem is when you open your mouth and speak, like if you're just not speaking, maybe it's fine, but 100 days you really do know people.
Yeah, very, very, very long season. What was your favorite showmance to watch, and what which one kept you and your fellow house guests the most entertained to watch?
Oh, my favorite by far was watching, well, now what are they called now? It was Comerica, but they've changed it to AmeriCorey. So Corey and America were my favorite because they really were cute together. So, and I got along well with Corey and America. So yeah, I think they might have longevity.
Now, do you plan to watch the season back at all? Or like you're good. You watched in person.
not yet. I mean, I think it would be, to me, it's too stressful. It's still very raw. So I can't even really watch interviews or anything at the moment. So I think eventually, yeah, I'd love to watch it. But there's so much stuff on Twitter that I'm seeing, I guess, the important bits. But, I know my perception, so that'll do. Yeah.
There's one episode you watch with America's Sweetheart that we could not believe they were showing. They were showing Corey and America in the shower together. So that I couldn't believe it was on TV. But that must have been quite the day in the house when you hear about when they got busted on that.
Oh, so I think, did I walk in? I think I remember that because people ran into the backyard.
Yeah, I think you were the one
shower.
That came in the bathroom, yeah.
Yeah, so I do remember that. I mean, I think that was all a bit of fun. I don't know, actually. I didn't see if they, whatever.
Who knows? So you have an athletic background. So the question that I got to ask you, which a lot of your other competitors would love the chance for, would you be open to going on the Challenge USA the next season with all your fellow CBS family?
Oh, yeah, the Challenge or the Amazing Race, they would be ideal for me. So if I was doing the Challenge or either of those shows, actually, I would be going into hardcore training. So I do CrossFit. But which I tried to do in the house, but oh my gosh, it was really hard. No one wanted to work out. It was difficult. So, but
yeah, once Tyson left, because every episode they showed him on the bicycle, there was no footage of anybody in the gym.
Day one, I was in the gym, and he and I were in the gym. I think at different times usually, but yeah, I worked out. I think I worked out nearly every single day except for the last 2 weeks. So, but before that, every single day. But yeah, I would be, if I was doing the challenge, I would really want to get my strength up and make sure I was solid and super fit. But yeah, I would love to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think the people from this season that I could potentially see on the challenge, Bowie Jane, Hysom, Riley, and I would say Matt. I think those are the physical, the competitors. I think Jack could be asked, but we always discuss, Joe, is there any upside to a Big Brother winner going on the challenge? And it seems to be more of a downside because it's kind of like you either got to win, so you win both, or it's like, oh, maybe, you know. So I think, what do you think, Joe?
Interesting.
The right people that could potentially be on. I think Corey on America, I think America could be on as well.
Yeah, America could definitely be on it. But I think America and Corey and Jared and Siri would be a better fit for the Amazing Race because of the whole duos thing. I think you nailed the challenge people pretty accurately. All the Big Brother people always get targeted on the challenge too. All the shows people usually stick together, and for some reason, Big Brother people always use, like, they get targeted more so than other former show contestants, I think.
Game on, no worries, couldn't care less. Let's go.
There we go, Bowie Jane. How about you on Survivor?
Draw the line. Oh, Survivor. Well, I'm a bit worried I wouldn't be able to wear my heat patches on my back. So my, like, I don't know if everyone could say, I'm sure they could, that I was always sticking heat patches on my back because of my tennis days. Mm. And people are like, what's that from? And I'm like, oh, it's just a tight back. But really it's from, like, overtraining so hard. So, yeah. I don't know if we survive or if I could take all that stuff with me.
Right. Could be an issue. All right. So we'll see. Bowie Jane on the challenge. We'll keep our fingers crossed because I think it would be very entertaining, especially
That'd
when they,
amazing.
You know, sometimes they do these challenges where you have all these people from Australia, all these people from the UK. So, Bowie Jane, you're going to go with the Big Brother crew. You're going to go with the Australian gang.
Oh,
very controversial.
Being with the Australians would be hilarious because we'd be ruthless.
Yeah, absolutely. Bowie Jane, have you ever seen a kangaroo in person?
Of course I have. Yep. There's kangaroos. There are kangaroos everywhere in the country in Australia. So in the countryside, but not in the city so much. Although sometimes they do pop up, like at Melbourne Airport. Melbourne's where I'm from. 5 million in Melbourne. But like there was a kangaroo jumping through the airport car park. So parking lot.
Not the first time we discussed kangaroos on this show, Joe, but I wanted to ask.
Actually, a lot of people have been saying that that I'm faking my Australian accent.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? And that why am I saying g'day? I'm like, because we literally do say g'day. That's part of our language.
Right. So, Bowie Jane, in your life or your career, what would you say has been your you-know-I'm-right moment? I mean by that as a time or place where you wanted to pursue something. Maybe you asked somebody for advice. They said, Bowie Jane, that's a crazy idea. Don't do that. It's not going to work out. And you were like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And ultimately, in the end, you will see why it is that I'm right.
Yeah, I would say this has happened a zillion times in the music career for me. So people just not having faith in the music that I'm doing or releasing in the UK. So even with the music I released in the UK, which charted over there, when I showed it to people in Australia, they're like, that won't work. So things like that all the way along. It's just constant no, no, no. My life has been full of no's. So I have not had an easy ride. It's been a hustle. So, yeah, I would say being in the music career, it happens daily.
Good answer, DJ Bowie Jane. We appreciate your time. This was a lot of fun. We wish you the best. Again, when you come to New York, you have to let us know. We'll reach out. I'll come visit you and when you perform a show. Recently did that for Blake, another DJ who was on the show with us. Keep mentioning him. But congratulations on finishing third place in Big Brother. Again, you were amazing this season. You performed really, really well. I thought the season was incredibly enjoyable. I think it was a well-rounded cast. Nick and I, we wish you the best in all your future endeavors. What comes next? Maybe some more reality TV, as Nick alluded to. But what we do here is we always give our guests the last word. So if there's anything else you would personally like to share or promote for yourself, by all means, go ahead. Once again, we thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. It was a real pleasure being on the show. And I guess if I was going to promote anything, I've got a podcast as well called Babes Behind the Beats, and we interview females working in the music industry, both behind the scenes and on stage. So with my mate, Jess Bowen, who's a professional touring drummer. So yeah, if anyone wants to check out that would be awesome. And I'll promote you guys on our show as well. So.
Excellent. Well, maybe a little crossover at some point. And I don't know, Bowie Jane, I think the record labels are calling. You might have to put another album out soon.
Yes, I'm working with a producer in Sweden, and so we are working on getting that track out very soon.
There you have it. All right, Bowie Jane, this has been a pleasure. That's going to do it here for this episode of You Know I'm Right for our very special guest, Bowie F and Jane, my co-host, Joe Calabrese. I'm Nick Thirst, and this has been You Know I'm Right.